Good morning. Let's say it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? We have an echoed room. It's kind of early. But I'm going to give you a talk about a project that we just began in Haiti. After the earthquake in January, several students and faculty from Morgan State University, which is an HBCU in Baltimore, Maryland, under the leadership of one of my colleagues, Dr. Randy Rao, we decided to organize a Haiti Relief Task Force. We have several students at Morgan who are also national Haitians. Some were Haitian-born. Some of them have parents who were from Haiti who now live in the States. But several of them, including some of our graduates, traveled to Haiti after the earthquake to provide medical aid and assistance. After an informational session with the students at the school, we decided that we wanted to do more. And many of our students felt compelled to want to travel there. We just felt that we needed to do something. We just didn't have any idea of what we wanted to do. So in the summer, we were invited by a young man, well, I say young man, not that young, in his 40s, I guess I'm getting on the other side, so. Dr. Franco Jean-Louis, he's been the director of the Christian Haitian Outreach Orphanage, and he wanted some assistance with his idea of educating and training the children at the orphanage about the aspects of starting and maintaining a garden. He wanted them to learn about harvesting and marketing food for themselves and their families in the surrounding communities. So the idea about the project was that he wanted the people of Haiti, in a sense, to become more self-sufficient and self-sustaining. So in August, three of my colleagues on our own budget, no money from outside, and one of our former students, who is also a medical doctor and an MPH, who received a DRPH actually from Morgan's program, went to Haiti to conduct an assessment of the public health needs of the CHL orphanage, as well as several other orphanages in the area and in northern Haiti. And we initiated a NutriGarden project. So I'm going to show you a few slides, and some of them are repetitive to what you saw from Stephen. But this is our team. There were five of us. We weren't able to take students, but I'll tell you more about what our plans are in the future. And of course, you see the tent cities, time you get off the plane. These are just other slides. This earthquake was 32 seconds, I'm sure you've heard, 32 seconds to cause all the damage that it did. This is the palace in Port-au-Prince. These are the children at the orphanage. And when you talk about a resilient people and the children that you see, the faces that you see, you just can't help being overwhelmed a little bit about what you see. First of all, when we got there, it took us about an hour and a half to get from Port-au-Prince at the airport to Mariani, which is just right outside, considered a suburb, because the roads are so bad. This is the team again, and on the left, far left, is Dr. Franco, we call him. That's his first name. But a very energetic guy. We were on our way that day to Cape Haitien, which they weren't affected by the earthquake. But we went up there because Dr. Franco has a network of churches and orphanages in the area that he works with, to try and help develop this NutriGarden project. People, orphanages with land, churches with land. Which means you really need a bulldozer. The children won't be able to do all the work, but it's a start. This is actually back on the outskirts of Mariani, back on the side of Port-au-Prince. This is one of the schools that we toured, we couldn't go inside, but we went by to see the damage and the destruction. No children were in this orphanage at the time of this destruction. But they meet now right next door under a tent provided by USAID. This is another photo, completely destroyed. Now, This is one of the schools. Now, this school, I don't know if you can tell in the photo, but I can see it on the smaller one. There are cracks in the building. So it's unstable. It's still standing, but they can't hold classes inside the building. So they're also on the outside under a tent. Now, our NutriGarden project. They woke me up at 7 a.m. in the morning and said, we're going to go and start this garden. And I was the actual photographer initially, so I said, okay, I'm gonna get up at 7. It was already hot, it was sticky. The children were up. Some of them were excited, some of them not so excited. And none of us spoke Creole, which was another barrier for us, but we did have someone there who spoke Creole for us to be the translator. And it was kind of funny sometimes, but we learned how to use gestures and talking, you know. We talked, we did all kinds of things, and many of the children were just very bright and picked up our language as we were picking up some of their words. But they taught us a lot while we were there. And we stayed on the property of the orphanage. This is in the background, thank God, because I'm in environmental health. Dr. Forrest Anderson, with her bandana, she's trained in agriculture as well as nutrition science. I was so glad she had an agriculture degree because she at least gave us the basis for what we wanted to do and accomplish. And Dr. Ava Joubert, of course, is a medical doctor, but also very interested, and she had toured Haiti two times before, once before the earthquake and then one after the earthquake, to assist with medical aid. Here's our little plot inside their property where we were tilling the soil, actually bringing dirt to actually make the soil for the garden. We planted, the other thing about Dr. Forrest Anderson, she's from Jamaica originally, so she knew, you know, the relationships, and she knew what would grow. Now, she called it callaloo, but the people in Haiti called it spinach, but that's what we planted. And I couldn't bring the photo. I saw a photo now, because it's not on a slide, it's not a JPEG file, but there's plenty of spinach out here now, and the children were so excited they were able to harvest spinach to eat. So this is just other photos. That's Dr. Rao getting down and dirty in the soil, trying to till it up. Now, we had a young man with us who they had to take wheelbarrows of dirt from one end to the other, and fortunately, he was with us to do that, and the kids would follow him around. That's me. We were telling the children to take rocks out of the soil so that the soil would be better for growing the spinach. And it was so funny, some kids were actually, you know, putting rocks back in. So, and the other thing is about the language barrier here, you know. So I picked up a rock, that's what I'm trying to see, rock, go over here. But it was so much fun. Now, the other thing that really grips your heart, and I've heard stories from others who've been in other agencies in Haiti, that there are babies that have been abandoned. While I was there, there was a 9-day-old baby who was abandoned by her mom. The baby has spina bifida, which the next slide will show. But his whole expression was so bright. And you just felt that you needed to try and do something. This is his back. His feet were sideways. He had a very serious case of spina bifida. His breathing was shallow. I'm not certain how he's doing now. I know that he had developed pneumonia before I left, and that was in August, at the end of August and September, he developed pneumonia. But I understand that he's doing better. When we got back, two of us, Dr. Ava Joubert and I, were both trying our best to see if we could find a physician in this country who would treat him in Baltimore. We contacted Hopkins, Ben Carson, we contacted the University of Maryland. We did find a physician who said that he would take the case. But as it turns out, it was decided by the head of the orphanage that they would take the child. No, it was recommended that they take the child to the University of Miami, which is what they did. University of Miami had a health center in Port-au-Prince. And I understand that they are going to eventually bring the baby to the States. and which will have to take place fairly soon in order to correct his abnormality. So I just wanted to show you the children. When you talk about resiliency, there are about 1,000 orphanages in Haiti. Not all of these children were abandoned by their parents. Some of them were taken there intentionally because the parents could not afford to raise them. This orphanage had 120 children, boys and girls. They go to school up until, I think it's eighth grade, I was told. So after then, if they don't have the funds, that's the highest level of education that they achieve. So many of them after that, which is this group here at the age of 18, are told that they have to leave the orphanage. The orphanages are very protective. There's usually a gate in many of them that opens and closes and locks at night. And they have games, they play games, they go to church, they do other things, activities. But these girls are now the age where they have to leave. But many of them don't have the skills to go to high school. They're all 18 or 20 years of age. So this is a concern of ours, to what do we do for them, or how can we assist them? And Dr. Franco had an idea of developing a trade school that would teach trades to the children. So looking for some sort of funding where these children can continue and perhaps develop a trade so that when they are marketable, they will have skills that they can use, things that they can do for hair, secretarial skills, whatever. Again, this is Dr. Franco with Dr. Rao. These are some of the directors, 5 minutes. The directors of the program at the CHO. The one on the right is the director, the young man on the left, grew up at the orphanage and decided to stay. Forgot to mention Dr. Franco also grew up at this orphanage. His mother decided when he was 9 years old that she could no longer take care of him. His mother's still alive. So he grew up there, but they found funding for him to go to high school and then to medical school at Port-au-Prince. That's how he received his education. And now he travels between Haiti and Miami, where his family lives, to assist the CHO orphanage and also the older kids. We're trying to assist them in finding schools and places to live. Hence, here are some of my first impressions. Again, Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, visibly and literally. You get the shock when you get there. And then as you're there, I saw, just from the health perspective, there is a visible presence of health clinics attempting to provide services. You have Partners in Health, Partners in Development, the University of Miami, Doctors Without Borders, and many, many more. But some of the problems that I see with that right now is that there's very little coordination of public health infrastructure. There's a Ministry of Health, but one thing you have right now is a lamed up president or prime minister. The elections are going to be held on November 28th, I was told. I didn't really see all of the funds that were contributed right after the earthquake. I couldn't tell whether those funds were actually being distributed. You still have the like you saw, the building, the school buildings. You still have rubble. You have trash everywhere. And if you're talking about from an environmental health perspective, the water systems, the sewer systems, piles of plastic, rubber tires. They were burning rubber tires. So there's a threat of cholera, which we know. So there's just so much that needs to be done. And so my last slide is a way forward. Again, we talk about the resiliency of the people, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. There needs to be a way of determining what steps it will require to help this country move forward. We had electricity in the morning from maybe 8 to 10 o'clock in the afternoon for a few hours in the evening. Water sometimes cut off, but we did have a treatment system there at the facility. So this is my presentation, and if we have questions, I hope that we can have a dialogue on what should we do and what could be done to help the people of Haiti. Thank you.